Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Well, I am excited to be with you once again here on the podcast. I hope that these words have encouraged you and blessed you. I know we're only a couple weeks into our I've Got the Joy series. By the way, this is episode 3 of that series. If you haven't, you can go back and check the archive if you haven't caught the first two. Since we're going through the book of Philippians, it's kind of important. Some of this stuff just kind of treks together. As we know, this is a letter from Paul, so all the content in there just kind of flows together as he's making his points and illustrating different things from his life. So if you have a copy of the Bible, though, you can go ahead and open it up. We'll be in Philippians chapter 1 again, and we'll be in verse 12. And I've got to say, I've just been excited as I've been studying and preparing for this episode and future episodes, obviously, as we continue on in this series. The rest of chapter 1, I've been excited with what God has been giving me. And typically when I prepare this kind of stuff, I read the Bible, and this is just being transparent, just so you know. I use commentaries and other information from other people, but really I sit there and I read, and if something jumps off the page at me to share, that's majority of what I share. And so, as I said that with last week's episode, when we read in verse 7, when it says, verse 6, where it said, "And he who began a good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns." You know, God's going to complete what he started. That was that simple. That was the only point I had, right? So just things like that, you know, and then using other things to kind of, so that's what we're doing. That's what I see when I jump off, when it's something that jumps off the page at me, taps me on the shoulder, if you will. That's what I typically go with out of this. So we're not typically diving deep. We're not like all of that kind of stuff. We're keeping it very, very surface level. And I know maybe that's controversial, but it's how I feel. Like, we can get deep, deep down in the Bible, and that's good and that's great. But sometimes there's just such powerful stuff just reading the Bible for what it is. And that's what we're doing here with the book of Philippians. That's what we did with the In the End series that we started the year off with. Just reading the text for what it says. And what it says to us and how it speaks to us. So we started the series off a couple weeks ago. And we dove into kind of like the origin story of the church in Philippi, which is what this letter, Philippians, is written to. It's written to the Philippian people in the church of Philippi. We saw Lydia, we saw the jailer, and we saw the girl with a demon in her that was fortune telling for the people who owned her. And, you know, Paul cast out that demon, wound him up in jail. And then we wound up seeing about the jailer that I just mentioned, and how all these people came to know Jesus. It's unclear about the slave girl, what happened with her after. It's possible that she was there with it too. But Lydia's household and the jailer's household all, you know, met with Paul in their homes, and it's believed that they started the church of Philippi. Then last week, we dove into verses 3 through 11. And as I mentioned, you know, just a little bit ago, God will complete his work was one of the things that we saw. We also talked about our heart and how our heart posture changes how other people, how we look at other people and other things, right? How we look at our circumstances and all of that. And that Paul's encouragement, that Paul's prayer for us would be to have overflowing love, that we could love more and more. We can always love more. Just when we thought Jesus wasn't going to, he loved more. And then that it would help show the fruit of our salvation. And the way we do that is by sticking close to Jesus. And that the fruit of the Spirit, which is the fruit of our salvation, that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the first ones is love. The first one is love. And I think it's like that for a reason. And so all of this is because that's how we are going to glorify and praise God the best, is when we love. We're more like Jesus when we love. And I think that's why Paul, we're not too deep into this letter, Paul is just kicking it off by encouraging the Philippian people to just love more and more and more. So as we continue on here in this series, we'll be in verses 12 through 19 today. And it's really amazing what God, this opening letter, this would be kind of like maybe the introduction, right, of the letter. Because it all kind of circles around the same thing. And so let's go ahead and read verses 12 through 19. And then we will dive in. And it says here in Philippians 1, verse 12, it says, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Verse 15, it is true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know that I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they teach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, and intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether the motives are good or bad or false or genuine, the message of Christ is still being preached either way. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance." There's a lot in here, right? And so one of the first things that jumps off the, like I said earlier, just jumps off the page at me, one of the first things that came to me was out of verse 12. And it said, well, 12 through 14, but mainly verse 12. And it says, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped spread the good news." And so the first point I want to make out of verses 12 through 14, nothing is wasted. I don't know if you've heard me say that before. I know I've said that before on the podcast. We did a series back several years ago. It was called Good God. And it was answering the question, you know, is God really good with all these things that happen, right? And one of those things is nothing is wasted. One of the episodes talks about that. You can find that at our archive. But just because he was in prison, either time, this is a different imprisonment. This is when he was in prison in Rome. But this one is different than the one in when he was in Philippi. And the whole thing is same kind of thing. Paul wasn't wasting his time. Even though he was in chains in Acts 16 in the church of Philippi, he still, the gospel of Jesus was still spread, right? The good news was still spread because Paul and Silas sat there and praised God for that time. They could have sat there in their own circumstances and, you know, just moaned and groaned about, I did all this work for God and it was supposed, and now I'm in jail, so much for that, you know, and all of that. But they continued to sit there and do that. And the same thing here with this. It says, the same thing here is God didn't waste Paul's time during the Roman imprisonment. God never wastes our time, though we might waste it by not sensing God's purpose on our lives at the moment. And that just rings so, so true. Paul could have just sat there and be like, oh, all this stuff, like, you know, when he was in prison in Philippi, he could have just sat there and just, you know, been upset about it. But instead he was praising God, and then this big miraculous jailbreak happened, you know. And I said this in last week's episode, but he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians during his during this time of imprisonment. So this is what he means when he means he's in chains. He's in jail again for preaching the good news. And Paul's imprisonment, even though he was still focused, because he was so focused on Jesus, Paul's imprisonment gave the other people around him, the other followers of Jesus around him, it gave them greater confidence and boldness. If Paul can do this, well, then we can do it. They saw that Paul had joy in the midst of his trial. They saw that God would take care of Paul in his trial and in his circumstances. And they also saw that God could still use Paul even in his circumstances. That's so important to understand. That's what Paul means here. Paul is simply telling the Philippian people and us, we got to remember that this wasn't just, oh, it's addressed to the Philippian people. Oh, it's addressed to Romans. Oh, it's addressed to the church in Corinth. Like, no, God's word is addressed to us. Period. You know, my position about how the Bible operates might be controversial to some people, but I believe that the Bible is made up of all of these stories and words and letters and places and people and all of this because that's what God wants us to know. So yeah, this letter was to the Philippians, but it's for us. Paul was writing to us as well with God's help. So God was writing to us. That's why this stuff is so relevant sometimes today. Right? So this means so that nothing is wasted. That we can see that even though he was in jail two times that we've looked at so far in this series, both of those times he focused in on Jesus. And that he had joy. And he, because he had joy, and he knew that God was going to take care of him, and he knew that God was still going to use him. And other people saw that, and we can see that. I've seen it in so many different people, you know, just the stories that the church that I attend, the people that tell their story, some of their stories are just heart-wrenching and so upset, but they come to a place where they just experience some joy in their story. God can use your story. God can use every opportunity, good and bad, to spread the message of Jesus. Just like we've been talking about, Paul in prison. Who would have thought that the prison house would have been a praise house? Seriously, who would have thought that Paul sitting in chains in pretty much maximum security prison with an instruction, do not let him out, that would turn into a worship service? As they focused on Jesus. It's astonishing to me that Paul could focus like that. And I know everybody's life is different, and I've said that as we've kicked off this series. It's been really tight on this topic. But I know everybody's situation is different. Everybody's faced things that are different, good, bad, what everybody's faced them. You know, last week I quoted something that Robin Williams said. You know, everybody's fighting a battle that we know nothing about, so just be kind. That's what Jesus would have us do. When you look through the Gospels, you don't have to look too hard. The woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, his disciples that he called, the people he interacted with. He wasn't as much worried about what was going on in their life as much as what would happen if his life, they would, like, their life would change over so they could have life to the full, right? Jesus cared about their life. Don't mishear what I said. But he when he talked to the woman at the well, he said, you know, hey, you've got five husbands and this person that you're shacked up with isn't your husband. And he just went by it and he told her how he could have, how she could have salvation. Right? He didn't sit there and whip out all the scrolls and start thumping her on the head with them and all of that. Everybody's got a story. And sometimes that story will include us if we can just sometimes get past trying to correct them. So ultimately, the relationship is between Jesus and them. And we're just supposed to be that middle point, that turning point, right? Directing them to it. Because Jesus was the turning point for the woman at the well, and she turned a lot of other people to Jesus. Same thing with Paul when he met Lydia. He said, well, Paul and the jailer. Paul and probably lots of other people. Paul himself, right, met Jesus in Acts 9, totally changed his life around. So I've been stuck on that for a little bit ever since. I wanted just to leave the episode there and go on next week with something else. But we've got to stay with it here, because I'm really trying to go just section by section. But I mean, this is so important. God will use your story. There's nothing too broken or messed up that God won't use to help people see him, to help people become to enter into a relationship with him. It's amazing and it's so wonderful, and I can't get over it myself, how good Jesus is and how good God is. So now we're just kind of turning the page a little bit. Verses 15 through 19 talks a little bit about competition. And I don't know about you, but I am competitive. And the spirit of competition is among everybody. And sorry, people that preach and lead churches and all of that stuff, they're not below the spirit of competition, right? Paul was aware that there was competition going on. And he wasn't going to call them out. His response to it all wasn't to call them out that they're doing it wrong or trying to convince people to do it his way. It was, well, the gospel is being preached, so it's a win for me. Whether they are doing it for themselves or doing it for, that's up to them, right? Them and Jesus. And one thing I'll say about that before we actually kind of dive into a couple other points about this this section 15 through 19, is sometimes we got to leave it up to Jesus to be between Jesus and his people, right? If we feel like somebody's doing life wrong, if we feel like somebody's making the wrong choice, if we feel like somebody's not doing it right, well, sometimes who are we to decide that? But also, it's between them and Jesus. If somebody is doing everything, because you've got ambition and selfish ambition is mentioned. It says here, verse 15, it says, it is true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. They preach, verse 17, it says, then others don't have a pure motive as they preach about Christ. They preach out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my change more painful to me. So selfish ambition and ambition, right? Ambition isn't bad. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be the best we can be for God, or the best basketball player we can be, or the best, you know, whatever we do, the best CEO, the best leader, the best dad, the best mom, the best small group leader at your church. Right. And I already said the best pastor or the best church, even. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be the best at what we do. As a matter of fact, we should strive for that. I think that's what Jesus would have for us, is to try and be the best that we can be. But also remember that we're not somebody else. And so that's where selfish ambition is, when we become concerned about a successful image instead of striving for a true success. It's doing the right things for the wrong reasons. It's if I do this, I can get more people to come to church, you know, and my style of preaching is different, or my leadership ability is different, or I'm better than somebody else, so I should get that spot on the team. That kind of thing. Others were trying to just be better than Paul, but their heart wasn't in the right place, and Paul's was. We talked last week about our heart posture, right? That's important. Our heart is important. And Paul was pretty much saying here that spreading the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, it isn't a contest. People were trying to outdo Paul by preaching the gospel better or different. But what they didn't realize is that nobody was competing. Paul just wanted the gospel to be preached. And it was being preached. It didn't matter how it was being preached, because like I said, their motives behind it, like if you're just trying to be the best just so you can have your name out there and so you can be the best at whatever it is, and so you can just get the notoriety and all of that, that's between you and Jesus. You know, especially if you lead some kind of something in his church, and his with a capital H, like something in Jesus' church. If you're doing it to further your own selfish ideas, that's up to you in Jesus. It's not up to me or anybody else to go there kind of like, you know, you could be, I mean, as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to love each other and help each other. So someone should come along beside you and say, hey, wait a minute. This doesn't feel quite right. You know, or hey, you know, like, I'm sure every parent does. Hey, you know what? You might be really good at this, but maybe you should step aside and let someone else have a try. Just because you're superb at it, just because you're great at it, doesn't mean that you are, that you should just take all the, you should help, let them be a part of the team too. Share the team. I don't know what I was looking for to say there. Share the position. Share the instrument. Share the like I said, just share, right? I'm looking for a certain word and it escaped me, so that's why I kind of stumbled there a little bit. But Paul didn't care. It wasn't a contest. The only goal that he had was the spreading of the gospel. Nothing else mattered. Paul was keeping the focus on the mission of spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, as Acts 1:8 says. So people preached the gospel more energetically, motivated by Paul's imprisonment. Some were motivated in a good way, some were motivated in a bad way. Nonetheless, they were motivated, and Paul could rejoice in the fact that they were motivated to preach the gospel. And he was going to let Jesus handled the rest. The goal for us should be to spread the gospel. No contest, nothing. Spread the gospel of Jesus. Not compare ourselves to somebody else. Not trying to be better than somebody else. But get the word out, because everybody will listen to somebody. Jesus said, if they have ears, let them hear. He wasn't necessarily talking like, let them hear his words, let them hear what's being said, right? Because everybody has ears, but some people don't always listen with their ears. So when Jesus is saying, if they have ears, let them hear, he's hoping that they will hear what's being said. Whether it's him, whether it's his disciples, whether it's some like dude on the street, right? That's what Paul was hoping for. Whether it's his words or somebody else's words, as long as they could meet Jesus, that's what was important to Paul. So, no contest. God can use your story. And then verse 19, it says, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. It's Jesus will help us with all of this. Jesus will help us see what needs to be done. Will help us see what elements of our story will help somebody. because I was going to say just a few seconds ago that we are somebody's going to listen to somebody, right? I've learned this, and maybe you've experienced it too. Parenting isn't always the easiest thing. I mean, you can laugh about that, you can chuckle about that, because, or you can tell me, duh, like, it would be a whole lot easier. I've often said to lots of people, and people have agreed with me, it would be easier if they came out holding a manual that was every detail, every component, every part of their life, and the solution on how to parent it, right? But it doesn't come that way. Every kid is different, everybody's different, every parent is different, certain things mean certain things, right? But I've learned something in parenting that I don't think really anybody will tell you. I mean, they probably would if you asked. But I've learned, especially with teenagers, because I have three of them, that you can talk to them until you're blue in the face, until they're tired of hearing your voice. And they'll listen to you. And then somebody else, whether it's a friend of the family's, whether it's someone at school, another adult, I'm talking about adults here, not necessarily peers, a teacher at school, something, right? They will say the same exact thing, and they'll come home from school, or they'll come home from somebody's house, or whatever, and they'll proceed to lay out everything that you told them, and go, so-and-so's parents said da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it's exactly what you said. And they'll make the change, and it'll be good for them, and it's just kind of like, why couldn't they listen to me? And I think it's the same way with people in Jesus. Why are there so many churches? Why are there so many different ministry types? Why are there so many? Because everybody's trying to reach Jesus. Trying to reach people for Jesus. Is what I meant to say. I've often heard some of the pastors at my church, once again, say, we're not in competition. This isn't a contest. And it's just resonated so well with me. Because my church recently, a couple times, has done a night of worship where they've invited everybody, right? Church leaders, churches, other people from other churches, whatever, it doesn't matter. Come and just worship Jesus with God's people, right? That's what we're supposed to do. It doesn't matter if you go to this church or that church. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor at this church or that church. Come worship with us, right? Because that's what's important. We're not in contest. We're not trying to rip people off from other churches. We're trying to just experience Jesus. And that's what I think Paul is encouraged about, because I think people would listen to Paul, but people will also listen to these other people. And I think people will listen to me. People will listen to my wife. People will listen to my kids. People will listen to our pastors at my church. People will listen to other pastors at other churches. People will listen to, everybody's got somebody that's going to listen to them, multiple somebodies. That's why we should, as the Philippian people here, but as Paul was explaining to the Philippian people, that people are speaking with boldness because of his imprisonment. That is what he's talking about. He's talking about believers the believers are boldly speaking God's message. He wasn't necessarily talking about the Philippian people. I'm sure he was letting them kind of know, wink through a wink, wink kind of thing. But the situation here is that Jesus was being preached. And if that's the goal, then that's the goal. The motives behind it are something else altogether. But you know what? God will sort that out with them later. As long as people are hearing the good news of Jesus is what Paul was talking about. And that's what Paul encourages us with. And that Jesus will help us. And it's important to know that. So, it doesn't matter how messed up your story is. It doesn't matter what circumstances you find yourself in. Paul found himself in a lot of crazy circumstances. And, you know, I found myself in crazy. You found yourself. Everybody's circumstances are totally different, which is why I've always said, everybody has a battle. We don't know anything about it, but just be kind to them. That's what Jesus would do. And that's what Jesus encourages us once again to do. Through Paul's letter here to the Philippian people, Paul is encouraging them to preach the good news of Jesus and that we can rejoice, right? So far, I said that joy is used a lot in here and that Jesus is referenced 51 times. So talk about the focus of what Jesus, I'm talking about the focus of what Paul had for the Philippians, and he reflects a joyful spirit using these circumstances from his own life. I think it's so important for us to see that. And I think that's what Paul's purpose for this letter is, especially this hitting it hard in this opening part. Is it doesn't matter what we're facing, is that whatever it is can still be used for Jesus. We can help somebody. We can help somebody get over that addiction. We can help somebody get through that divorce. We can help somebody get through that loss of a loved one. We can help somebody get through that loss of a child. Our circumstances matter. They matter to God. Nothing is wasted. God isn't going to waste one precious thing that happens to us, good or bad. God's not going to waste it. He wants us to share that stuff. And that's why the Paul, I said it in one of the first, either the first episode or last week's episode, that Paul was going to reflect things of his life using circumstances and situations from his own life to show the Philippian people and us how we could have joy in these circumstances. So just remember, God can use your story, whatever it is. God can use it, and that we're not in, contest. The goal for us is to keep Jesus in focus, keep him the focus point, as we say around here. The goal for us should be to spread the gospel of Jesus, whatever that might look like, and that there's no contest. God can use our story, and God will help us. Those are the points that I think Paul has for us in this little bit of text. So I hope that this encouraged you. I hope that you'll share this stuff along, and I hope maybe you'll incorporate some of it into your life. That really this idea of doing things out of selfish ambition and all of that, and looking at other people's lives and like, well, if they would just do this and they would just get it together, like if that's not the point. Right? The point of us is to show them Jesus. And that's what Paul is encouraging us to do. So I encourage you to do that this week. I hope that somebody will come along in your path. Maybe you know somebody and it's time to encourage them. It's time to just stop beating them over the head with the things they've done wrong. And like I said, John chapter 4 has been on my heart for a while. The woman at the well story. Jesus didn't beat her over the head with all this information. Well, you should do this. You should change that. You should fix this. Like, if you would do this, it would be better. You know, if you would just make this choice, you know, all that stuff. That's not the point. That's not going to help spread the gospel. What's going to help spread the gospel is keeping Jesus the focus point and rejoicing in the fact that God can still use our story, rejoicing in the fact that God can still use us to talk to other people, and that when we show them Jesus, when we spread the good news, when they understand it, that their life story, that their story can help spread the gospel as well. That's why Paul rejoices, because his story is being used to spread the gospel. So once again, in closing, the goal for us is to spread the gospel of Jesus under no contest, and that God can use our story no matter what it looks like, no matter how battered and broken it might be. God can still use our story to help other people see Jesus and how Jesus is nothing but goodness and mercy and loving and kindness. So important that we understand that. I think that's why Paul spent the first 19 verses of this really talking about this. You know, God started something. God's going to see it through to completion. That's just it, and that's all. That we should show love and kindness, right? Love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, and goodness. Like all of those fruits of the Spirit. And if we stay focused on Jesus, we're staying connected to the vine, as John 15 tells us. And we will be better for that. We'll be able to rejoice in that because we'll see people come to Jesus. So I encourage you with all of that, and I hope you'll come back next week as we continue on in this series.